This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacific affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Democrats and progressives woke up on the morning after the general election shocked and dismayed at seeing Donald Trump be elected president. While his rival Hillary Clinton claimed a popular vote win of about 180,000 more votes overall, Trump managed to flip several states that had gone for Obama in 2008 and 2012 and win more than 270 electoral college votes. Trump won especially big among white voters without a college degree. At the beginning of the election night, media were predicting a win for Clinton ranging from a close victory to a comfortable margin. Very quickly, however, that began to change dramatically. Breaking with tradition, Secretary Clinton waited until Wednesday morning to give her concession speech rather than late on election night. Here's an excerpt of her speech.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together. This vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
And that is Hillary Clinton speaking on Wednesday morning, giving her concession speech after Donald Trump's stunning upset. We are joined now by Janine Waddell. She is a university professor at the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University and the Global Policy Chair at the University of Bath, UK, and a fellow at the Hertie School of Governance in Berlin. She's written a book called Unaccountable: How the Establishment Corrupted Our Finances, Freedom, and Politics and Created an Outsider Class. Welcome to the program, Janine.
Thank you. My pleasure.
First, let's before we get to how this could have happened, and I'm wondering if you have a theory as to why all the polls, all the major polls at least, or most of them, were so wrong. How could the media have been so misled? Nate Silver, 538.com, all of these people predicting the race could have been so wrong.
Well, I have two thoughts. I can't. I'm not an expert on polling and pollsters, so I'm not putting a lot of confidence in them. But I can tell you what I observed. And one thing is that just in my conversations with people around the country, my cousin, a dairy farmer in South Central Kansas, a tow truck driver. Who helped tow my car in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago, a plumber from Florida who I talked with at an airport. All these people, after some probing, started to admit that they might be inclined towards voting, or that they were leaning towards Donald Trump. And I wonder whether this doesn't have something to do with the fact that some of Trump's supporters are quite brash and outspoken, but others are not. And they sense that something is wrong in the country. And of course, they are right about that. They're looking to the wrong solution, in my opinion, a potentially disastrous non-solution. But nevertheless, their sentiments are right on, and this point has been lost on elites. So that's one thing, the potential ashamedness that people feel. Another thing is, I think that when you really want something to be true, it's difficult to consider the other any other options. And I think that's what possibly happened with the media, that it just seemed unimaginable that to many people that Trump could win, and so therefore they didn't even think about that could actually be a possibility, and they didn't really entertain the evidence. And I think most importantly and most crucially, many elites, if not most, have been living in a bubble and do not understand how it is that ordinary people are so disgruntled. And it's not just because people are racist or sexist. Of course, there are those people, but you don't have, more than half the country, millions of people voting out of those sentiments. They are voting against against the establishment, against the system, against elites, even if they don't have an idea about how to replace the system.
Right, because a lot of whites who voted for Obama, it is post-election analysis is revealing a lot of whites who voted for Obama in the last two elections ended up voting for Trump. You can't just dismiss all Trump voters as racist. Maureen Dowd had a very interesting analysis in the New York Times on Wednesday morning. She said that the establishment took him literally but not seriously. His supporters took him seriously but not literally.
Yes.
So you're saying this was a vote against the status quo. So is it that Hillary Clinton, all she was offering was the status quo, that it just wasn't enough for enough Americans, that simply having the first woman president was going to be a break from the status quo?
Oh, yes. I think that she represents quintessentially the establishment. And unfortunately, she and her family have been involved in some key emblematic ways that elites rig the system. One of them, of course, is using the private email server for state business. Another one is the Clinton Foundation, which I've written about. It's this mixing of donations with philanthropic process, clients with donors, taking donations from foreign governments and corporations. It's all that kind of shenanigans. She and her husband are by no means the only people involved in that. That is a new trend with philanthropy, in fact. And it's across the board in many different arenas that I've been studying over the years. But she does, I think, to many people represent that high level kind of what I call new corruption that is legal, but many people consider unsavory. It doesn't pass the smell test.
Right.
Never mind that Donald Trump has been involved in corruption that is actually illegal with some of his real estate decisions, discrimination suits that have been filed against him and so on.
Right. And this is something that was very hard for a lot of diehard Clinton supporters to understand, that sure, there might be some questions around her email server or the Clinton Foundation, but how could those possibly compare to some of the horrific things that Donald Trump has said? And so how do you explain that rural voters, poor white voters without college degrees saw in Trump somebody who was not as corrupt as Clinton?
Well, people are looking, people are aggressively, and we're seeing this not just in this country, but in Europe as well, are aggressively anti-establishment, aggressively anti-elite, aggressively anti-system. And it's because they have been harmed by decisions that elites, particularly what I call influence elites, people who wield power and influence, have been making over the past couple of decades. Look at the financial crisis. Look at the rigging of the system that took place and how it almost brought down the financial system, and it took place so that a few people could make off with a lot of money, right? I mean, so that's the and look at the demise.
And
of
voters
the,
saw
how
that
the middle class has been hurting because
right.
of that. So people are disgruntled. People are unhappy, and they're looking to a figure that promises to save them. Trump has identified himself as an outsider, and as I wrote, you know, way back in 2014, and even in my earlier book that came out 2009, more and more people are identifying themselves as outsiders, and Trump appealed to that. Appealed precisely to that sentiment.
And so then a lot of voters saw Clinton and Obama as preserving that power structure that Wall Street was so comfortable with. And in fact, with Wall Street throwing its weight behind Clinton and with Wall Street in absolute disarray the night of the election and the morning after, clearly the establishment economic order was invested in a Democratic Party outcome under a Clinton presidency. So then the question becomes, at this point, are the liberal elites, to use the term that the right wing uses, are the liberal elites the ones to blame for their loss more than anyone else?
It's not the liberal elites, it's the influence elites, and they come in all conceivable political stripes. They're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're independents, what have you. They are people who have been involved in rigging the system and betraying the public trust. Betraying the public trust.
And when you say rigging the system, let's explain that, because that's a phrase that Trump is using.
So it's the financial crisis. Think about that. Think about a bank that is betting its favored clients against other clients, and those clients are, say, institutional investors, pension funds, our pension funds at work, and they're setting up the pension funds thereby to fail. So they are rigging the system to the advantage of favored clients. So that's what is meant by rigging the system, violating the public trust, and there's a big element of deception in it. It's perhaps the retired general who now sits on a government advisory board and has access to inside information at the same time, continues to works for defense companies as a consultant and earns a lot of money that way.
So that revolving door that people see and are upset by.
I'm sorry?
The revolving door politics that people see clearly.
We're actually beyond the classic revolving door, which has only one entry and exit point. It's the regulator, the ex-regulator going to, say, a lobbying firm. Today, we have the ex-regulator, where the ex-public official going to a law lobbying firm, but not registering as a lobbyist, going to a think tank, or perhaps a university, so that the next time he's on CNN, he presents himself as coming from a think tank as opposed to, say, a consulting firm, right, or a lobbying firm. So we, the public, have no way of knowing whose bidding he's actually doing, and we are misled. We are led to think that he's offering a neutral, objective opinion because he's with a think tank, but he's not. That sort of behavior is absolutely endemic. It's what I've been charting and writing about now for, you know, the better part of a decade, and it only gets worse, it seems, by the day. And until influence elites who are involved in this kind of activity, until they begin to understand that this cannot go on forever, people are going to vote for figures like Trump.
Now, Janine, Bernie Sanders also cast himself as an outsider when he ran for the primary. A lot of people, depending upon their politics, decided, okay, if Bernie is not going to be available, I'm going to go behind Clinton because she would be better than Trump. But a lot of other people said, if Bernie's not available, Trump is our other outsider. But Trump and Clinton are seemingly on opposite ends of the spectrum. How can working class voters looking for change sway so strongly between a left wing and a right wing, you know, promiser of their American dream?
Well, first of all, I don't think ideology plays quite the role that it really that it used to. People are anti-establishment; they're looking for change. Right. The extreme right and the extreme left actually have quite a lot in common, and they identify they both, as you just pointed out, identify themselves as outsiders. They're knocking on the door of the system, trying to get in. And they can't. And so they're just voting for that figure that promises to bring down the establishment.
And Trump managed to get in. It'll be interesting to see, you know, people were predicting the implosion of the Republican Party. The Republicans themselves were predicting that. The day after the election, it's the Democratic Party in disarray, having lost control of all three, the House, Senate, and White House. What do you think the Republican Party is going to do with their outsider now having basically taken over their party?
Well, I think political parties have been losing momentum and losing support for a number of years now. I've been writing about that, and they are in the same boat as formal institutions, generally speaking. What we have today is a crisis of trust, civic trust in institutions, whether we're talking about Congress, the presidency, or banks. And corporations or the media. There is a wholesale decline in civic trust over the past several decades at least. And this is the way it gets manifested.
Well, then finally, Janine, what advice would you give to progressives who are horrified by what they've seen unfolding, who want to try to understand why it happened, who realize that these influence elites that you talk of are really at the heart of the problem, but feel sort of disempowered the day after the election to do anything about it? You know, feels like the electoral process isn't a good way to win change, although Trump's voters would now disagree. Any advice that you can give progressives who are really sort of scared?
Well, there needs to be a massive re-education, and I do mean re-education of elites, particularly influence elites. I think that they're living, unfortunately, in a bubble, and I think it's probably not sustainable over the long term. And I'd like to send them to Siberia for a gap year, or to Central Kansas, where I grew up. To live with a family and go to church and even eat their food, go shopping with them, to try to find out more about how ordinary people live, not to do service, but to actually to learn from that. And because the society now is so polarized that unless we start having this discussion among people that are, you know, these polarized groups, I'm not sure where we're going to be. It's very, very scary indeed.
Janine, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your insights and analysis. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Janine Waddell is a university professor at George Mason University. She's the author of the book Unaccountable: How the Establishment Corrupted Our Finances, Freedom, and Politics and Created an Outsider Class. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/ruwithsonali.